Welcome to the Grief Club.
We're so sorry you're here. Welcome to Two Girls with Grief podcast, the podcast where we talk about grief. There might be tears, there might be laughter, but join us as we figure it out in real time. We aren't professionals, we're just professional grievers.
This podcast is for those dealing with grief, those who want support dealing with grief, and those who just want to learn about grief. We are your hosts. I'm Rachel Dwyer.
I'm Kendall Rogers.
And without further ado, welcome to our first episode.
In this episode, we'll be sharing our experience with grief, why we felt it's important to normalize talking about grief, and talk about the experience of being new to grief.
So let's go over our introductions and why we're qualified to talk about this. So I am Rachel. I am based in San Francisco. My qualifications are I've lost my dad, my sister, and my mom in that order. I'm a Pisces, and I'm happiest in the water.
I love that. Thanks for sharing, Rachel. My name is Kendall. I'm from DFW in Texas, and my qualifications is that I lost my dad as well a few years ago. I'm a Sagittarius, and I'm also an avid reader. So we're going to kick off each episode with a grief check-in. So Rachel, how are you doing with your grief today?
So how we see this, just for everyone to give some reference, is with grief, it's different every day. And you can have good days, you can have bad days, you can have in-between days. And so it's always going to be different. Today, I actually was reading a book that I started. It's called, I think it's like The Last Summer. I don't know why I decided to read that before doing this podcast because it definitely made me cry. It was basically about this girl that her dad was sick. They spent a last summer at like a summer house or like a lake house. And it dealt a lot of topics that like I could relate to. Was talking about like her dad was sick. And so there's like nothing you can do. And you just like watch one of your favorite people get sicker. And you feel so helpless. And I related to so much in that book that I definitely like had multiple crying fests earlier today. So I don't know why I did that. Like I decided to put myself through that before this. But so I'd say it was mixed. I definitely connected myself to too much like real feelings with grief, but now yeah. I feel better. And sometimes you just need to cry. So sometimes like it's in waves. Like you might feel really sad about it at the moment and then you feel better. So that's where I am right now. I feel better, but I definitely was in my feelings earlier.
That's like so relatable. Today has been honestly stressful and overwhelming. And some days that's great to forget about your grief that you're going through. But more recently, it's kind of been a reminder of like how hard it is to carry all that at once. And so it's kind of a kind of mixed like you. It's good sometimes, but it's bad the others.
And every episode, we're going to do this check-in like Kendall mentioned. So depending on what we're feeling, our answers are going to be different. So I don't plan to read a very sad book before every episode. Maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to try to not do that. Because who knows, my answers today might just be much more sad than I had planned. Because, you know, it kind of like triggered a bunch of memories. So that kind of goes into what our goal with this podcast is. And we really wanted to just start having more real conversations about grief, to break the negative stigma that a lot of people have about talking about grief, because it's such an important part of of your journey when you're experiencing grief. And it's really something we feel like you should be able to talk to day to day. So like I should be able to say like I read a book and it really triggered a lot of feelings, and I should be able to say that to friends that, you know, have experienced grief or not. I feel like I should feel comfortable saying that because it's something that kind of rocked my day, which I wasn't expecting. And we feel like, you know, you should be able to talk about things like that, even if you haven't experienced grief. It's also just such a misunderstood topic, I think, because of society. People think like you're over grief in a certain amount of time, or that there's really like, it's like in a box, like it happens, you deal with it and you move on. And in our experiences, that's just really not the case. And with many people that we talked about grief. So we just wanted to talk about it more so people can understand it better, whether you're dealing with it or whether you're just trying to learn. And our hope is that if you're experiencing grief right now, that you can find some solace in our podcast and know that you aren't alone. Like hopefully some things that we say, you feel comfort in, you connect with, or you can walk away and know how to talk to someone that's dealing with grief and feel a little bit more prepared going into that conversation.
Yeah. I agree with all of that. And I think that leads really well into the next kind of question I wanted to ask you, Rachel, is how do you feel about your grief journey? What do you think that is? And how do you explain that to someone who may not understand what their grief journey might be?
I think for me, my grief journey has really been a lot of acceptance because I think for me, I was really in denial about my grief journey for so long because I've lost so many people that I think I was really trying to not be the girl that, like, first that lost her dad and then the person that lost her dad and her sister and then that lost both her parents and her sister. I was really trying to not be that person. And obviously, it's like you don't have control over those things. And so I think for me, a lot of my grief journey was one, it was just like compounded trauma. So it was a lot.
For
But I think
sure.
my grief journey now has been a lot of like healing and acceptance and just trying to figure out where I want to be now and what it all means. I think, you know, it's always a journey, and what I realize, like, it's just a forever journey. It's with me for the rest of my life. So for me, I just feel like it is a journey. It's dealing with grief and knowing that happiness and sadness are just intertwined and just figuring out what that means every day. So my grief journey is ever changing. I'm learning, but I think a big theme of my grief journey is like acceptance and growth, I'd say. What about you, Kendall? Like, what do you feel like your grief journey is? Or even what do you think the term means to you?
Yeah, well, so much of what you said, I totally relate to. I think, like, especially the part of like me thinking that there was going to be an end to my grief, and then me realizing over time that there is no end. It's just learning how to incorporate it into your life and processing that, and like exactly what you said, understanding that it's a part of your story now, and that you will carry that with you. I think. For me specifically, my grief journey came to be understanding that, like, with loss of somebody I love, also came with loss of parts of me that I won't get back. And in a lot of ways, that's very sad, you know, your life pre-grief. But there's also been a lot of growth and understanding that with grief comes change. And so, kind of dealing with that impact of loss and incorporating that grief into your life and understanding that, like, you're going to be a different person and that's okay.
Yeah,
So,
it's always interesting to hear other people's grief journeys and their experiences, because I think so often you think like you're alone on your feelings, and then you meet people and you're like, wow, this is like very similar, or I relate to that, which is why I also read like fictional, I feel like fictional grief books, which is what I read earlier. And I'm like, oh gosh, like relate to so much of these feelings, and it's fictional, but I always wonder, like, has the person that wrote this experienced it, and then that's how they can write it so well, like that it's like a stab in your heart when you read it. I'm not sure, but it is interesting for me. And you know, in the future, we definitely would love to hear what everyone feels about their own grief journey or how they see it. We'd love to make this like more interactive with everybody.
Yeah, and I think with that is like even understanding other people's perspectives, you're understanding your own. And I think you and I both have experienced that with each other of exploring new aspects of our grief, just talking about our experiences with each other, which I think dives into how did we end up here? You know, we kind of talked about our qualifications earlier, like what makes you an expert on grief, Rachel? And so I don't mind diving into losing my dad. I lost him during COVID. It's already a very isolating and traumatic time for everybody, not just me, but the whole world. And with that, losing my father, I became the leader of my family. I have younger siblings, and I became in charge of a lot of the logistics of our family. And for context, I was 24 and still very naive and young and made a ton of mistakes. And so I'm still processing a lot of these things with retrospect. What about you, Rachel? I would love to hear your journey and your experience in all this.
Yeah, I think I'll dive into it a bit more like later on in this conversation. But so I lost my dad 10 years ago, and he had diabetes and other health issues. He dealt with depression, and so a lot of that led to him passing away. He ended up having a heart attack. But and then my sister passed away about 2 years after him. She had lupus, and so she had a lot of health issues with that, and hers affected her kidneys and liver, which are very important and cause a lot more health issues. I think lupus is a little bit more complex. I don't think there's not really a treatment for it, and it affects people differently, so it's pretty complex. And then my mom passed away 6 years ago. She actually got ovarian cancer, and I think it also was a lot of it's kind of correlated to sadness with losing my sister and, you know, not kind of doing anything about it in time. So for me, there was so much where just, you know, it's health issues. All of it was health issues. So none of it was like, I would say it's not unexpected, but it was unexpected. Definitely with my sister, you expect like it's going to turn around and it won't end that way. Definitely don't expect to lose both your parents so soon either. But yeah, it was such a huge chunk of my life dealing with loss and just not even just the loss, but like the sickness. Because even before my dad passed away, my sister had been in a coma. One point, been hospitalized for 3.5 months. I think it was literally like 2 months after my sister got discharged from the hospital is when my dad ended up passing away. So it was like all of it was happening so fast. So there was just so much going on. And it's interesting how you say like you're the oldest child. I was the youngest child. And so very much I feel like the luxury of like being like the youngest child and having people help you with everything, not being in charge of anything. So much of that changed during that. Luckily, like, thankfully, I still have my older brother, and he handled a lot of, like, just logistics stuff. But, yeah, it's very much, like, the luxury of feeling like you're the youngest, where you're not in charge, and you're not the one figuring things out. Like, that is gone. Like, that for sure is gone now. So that's a bummer, but you live and you learn what it, you figure out what it means for your life now. But yeah, it's very much like it's so different how our experiences with that are. So the next thing we wanted to talk about was, because we're doing this podcast, and I think a lot of times when we're talking about grief is like, it's really hard to talk about grief. And at least for me, my mom's been gone for like over 6 years now, and I definitely was not in a place to talk about anything probably until honestly, like, I feel like this year was the year that I finally felt like I really want to be productive with my grief. I really want to do all these things. So I know for me, this is like a huge step. But what inspired you to want to talk about grief?
Yeah, that's like such a good question. And I think that's something a lot of people connect with when they've lost somebody. After I lost my dad, it was just an all-consuming feeling. It was like every day, every minute after my dad passed, it was something I was feeling, and I couldn't just bury that away. I know some people can, and I just was not one of those people who could just bury away the grief and all the memories and the feelings that come with this. So I just wanted to talk about it with people. And when I started to talk about it with people, I realized people get very uncomfortable. And I kind of had to come to terms with that. People are very uncomfortable with the concept of losing people and the grief associated with that. And so, you know, finding you and becoming friends with you, that making this conversation about grief less taboo, I think has really lifted my own heart and spirit around this topic and making it more of a conversation I'm willing to have with anybody and processing all that, because it's still very confusing and it is taboo.
Yeah, I know, like, for me as well, like, I was very much in a grief bubble. Like, I think what's hard is, like, when you don't talk to your friends about it and don't have a ton of people that aren't, like, your family members, I think it's hard to almost sometimes have conversations where people are completely impartial. You know, people can just hear your story and hear what you're feeling and hear and just get it, you know, especially people like that have experienced grief. I think for most of the people that I talk about grief before, we're all family. And I think it's a little bit hard sometimes when you have different perspectives, you deal with it differently, you may see things differently, you might have different relationships with people that passed away. I think sometimes especially when you're just going through it, you can be a bit more sensitive about stuff. You could have misunderstandings, different expectations of each other to deal with it. And I think that makes it hard when you're not having those open conversations with other people that sometimes can just validate how you're feeling, because someone that is experiencing something very similar, like the same people, might not agree with what you're feeling or what you're doing. And I think that makes it harder when you're like, you can feel in your heart and your gut, like, this is what I need to be doing and this is what I'm feeling. But people are telling you you're wrong or you're doing it wrong or your grief is taking too long. And I think that's what's hard and why I also felt like I didn't talk about it for so long or didn't want to, was because I was getting a lot of that kind of feedback, like, oh, you're so sad about it, you know, or something's wrong. And it's like, no, I'm just, I lost a lot of part of who I was. I lost such important people to me. It's like, that hurts every day. That part hurts every day. So I think what I'm talking about with grief is like, it's been so comforting of like making new friends that you just talk about grief and you get it. Sometimes you cry in front of each other and it's fine. And you don't, which is like totally not the norm, I think, for a lot of friendships where you just like, you talk and you like, you could cry and you get it, but you get, and like sometimes your story will inspire other things or other feelings. And I think so many times, like, we've already cried over, you know, what we've said or something, and it's not even our own story about what we're crying about. And it's like, you just get, and I think it's, I hope that people start also from us talking about this more and having these regular conversations, that people also feel the relief of talking about it and the relief of like getting it off your chest and understanding and being able to ask questions and just share what you're feeling. I hope that us doing that also helps other people feel like they can do the same.
Absolutely. I think that's really important. And it kind of like leads into this next idea of that we're trying to talk about this and have these conversations, but why don't you think more people talk about their grief or their experiences with loss?
I think it's like we mentioned kind of as inspiration is like, a lot of people think that it's taboo. Some people get, you know, I've seen where people say like they don't want to deal with that negativity of like someone being sad or their grief, and kind of like, you know, I'm trying to stay happy. And it's like there is an awkwardness because it's not talked about enough. It's hard to know how to be there for someone when someone passes away. And I don't consider myself an expert to comfort someone because everyone is different with what they feel. Everyone's different in how they accept help or just like what stage they're in. So it makes sometimes the conversations hard when like you don't want to make it worse. And so I think part of it's that it's like that fear of making it worse for somebody or being too much or not helping. And then also just like people feeling so uncomfortable, like they don't want to be uncomfortable, that they're not willing to have those conversations. And because like Western culture is very much like, you know, you maybe get 2 days off and then after that, it's like, you should just figure it out and like be okay and go back to work. And that's what kind of people are taught, that it just makes it feel like, oh, you don't need to bring it up again because like it was a year or 2 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever. It's like, no, I'm still sad. I lost my dad and it's been 10 years, you know, and that doesn't just go away. And I think that's like all those things that like people kind of get misconceptions about it and actually grief feels like, that people aren't talking about it. And I think in general, people avoid potentially awkward conversations, but it's like, you're not going to have deep, meaningful conversations unless you're willing for it to potentially be awkward. Like, or you might, you know, like you open up and things can get raw. You have to kind of risk it to find connection, you know, and I think people aren't really willing to do that, especially now. I feel like it's getting more. But like in your experience, what do you feel like? Why do you feel like people don't talk about it? I feel like you've also talked about like where you're located and sometimes that affects how people want to talk.
Living in Texas, there is this Southern hospitality that obviously exists. And it's very much like this culture of you don't want to burden someone else with your problems. you know, like, pick yourself up by your bootstraps type of mentality. And like, there's a time and a place for that, absolutely, for sure. You know, being a griever myself and knowing other people who have lost somebody, it's almost as if I did not want to weird out somebody else with my own grief. And I was very worried about how someone else might perceive me and my experience, almost to a point where I didn't want to talk about it or bring it up, which made me sad coming to terms that my grief is a part of me and my experience, and I should be able to talk about my own experience, whether it's heavy bearing. Be transparent, I loved my father immensely, and I love to talk about him and the stories, and he was such a jokester. But there was a time in my life I felt like I couldn't say those things because I would weird out the person I was talking to. And over time, I think you kind of suss out who is willing to have these conversations with you and who isn't. But I still think, and I think you and I both agree on this, that bringing these conversations to light can help not only the griever, but the person trying to help the griever navigate these difficult conversations together.
Yeah, it's so interesting to just to see like how your different location and kind of like the different cultures, even between can kind of be so different and kind of what the results in. I feel like in California, I think it's like a lot of companies, at least like I feel like very tech kind of modern companies and stuff. It's like there's a support, but it's not, I don't think it's necessarily real heartfelt support. It's kind of like, mm-hmm. Oh, we're providing this for you and we understand, but I don't think it's deeper than that. I think it's really like surface level. You know, it's like yeah. You don't want to actually talk about it to someone, but you want to show them support in some way, whether it's like you can take time off or mm-hmm. or something like that. But it's not, I would say, like deeply connected support. Because at a workplace, I think that might be hard anyway. I think people don't want to get too. It's like you risk things by sharing too much to your employer, you know, it's sure, sometimes. Yeah. So especially in this job market. So I think it's a little risky for that. But that kind of segues to our next thing we want to talk about was what is one misconception about grief that you would want to change? Like, what do you hope our podcast helps change?
Yeah, I think for one, I want to share with grievers and people trying to support grievers and people just wanting to learn that, like, it is messy. Grief is messy. It is not so clean and compartmentalized as the textbooks say. You know, I think a lot of people know pretty much like the overall, there's 5 stages of grief and, you know, you think that you're going to move to the next one so cleanly, but I think it's a lot messier than that. You backslide, you jump ahead 2 steps, you morph and you change. And all of this brings along a whole host new emotions that people aren't used to. I mean, if you're going through grief for the first time, you're experiencing all of this for the first time. It's new and you're like, how do I process this or even understand it? And for me, like, I'm still processing this. I wouldn't say that I'm over it, but I think the biggest misconception is that, oh, you're going to move from, you know, anger and denial and then acceptance. And it's not that cut clean. It's a lot crazier than that. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah, I'd say mine is really just like time heals everything. I think it gets better over time. I think people say that so often as like, mm-hmm. you just need time, you're going to get over it. And we've talked about this a lot, that like grief, to get over grief or to even just be dealing with it, you have to be very proactive about it, because
yeah,
10 days, 100 days, 3 years, it's not going to get better unless you're trying to make it better, because you lose so much, right? It could be like someone you live with, you know, like you live with them or you talk to them every day, or just like, you know, there's so much loss of your life, of that person and who they were in your life and who you were to them. Like, you lose so much and you have to be very proactive of like trying to find the new way to keep going, like the new like, just ways to like keep your life rolling and still be a good life. And you have to be very active about that. So like just time passing may not be any better for some people because they could be really stuck in your grief. And I think it's really easy to be stuck in your grief and take on new vices and stuff like that. So time alone doesn't do anything. It's like, yes, you can, things, it can feel more normal that they're gone, but like you just really have to be more proactive. You have to be proactive about like it. Otherwise there could be people that are still feel the exact same way and like haven't improved at all in X amount of time. And so I think when people say that, it's not really helpful because it really varies for people, and no one talks about just like how actionable it has to be to for time to help at all. Like, and it's really just the practice of doing new things and bringing more joy into your life. So I think that saying can just be very confusing for people that try to take it literally or try to take comfort in it from people saying that, like, oh, in time it gets better for you, and time goes by and you don't feel better. So I think it just really needs to be more clear of like, how can time actually make it better? It's like by you trying to make your life better or more feel more complete when you've lost so much. So I think it's just a very confusing supportive statement that's not really
And there's so many of those that you hear, especially after that initial loss, that people are trying with the best intentions to tell you things to make you feel better, and the reality is like the time of life where you're going through grief, especially right after the loss, it's really hard. Like, it really sucks. And so talking about the initial grief, if you're joining the podcast because you just lost somebody, it could be very hard and heavy, and we're very happy you're here. Hopefully we can give some support to you in a time that you need. Rachel, like, do you remember when you were going through that initial loss and that grief that you felt right after, you know, if it's not a couple days, a couple weeks, like, what were those feelings like?
I just remember it not, like, when my dad first passed away, I was just like, this is crazy. Like, this is not real. Like, there's no way this is actually happening. And definitely just, it's very confusing because I think my grandma was probably I was close to, but she passed away when I was 7. So, like, my dad was kind of my first major, really life-changing loss as an adult. And I think it really is just like a shock to the system because you don't expect death to really be real in some ways when you're not affected by it so closely. It almost feels like this mythical thing, like it'll happen at some point, but it's not going to happen to me. Like, it's not going to come close to me. So I think that's the hard part, is like, it's just, you're kind of in denial about it being a thing. Like, it's not going to affect you until it does. So for me, it really felt like, so much overwhelmed, overstimulated, shocking, like just so many different things. You just, if anything, it feels like a slap in the face. Like, you're just like, this can't be my real life. Like, I don't know what to,
for
like,
sure.
And I think that's what's crazy, is like, you just, your whole world changes so quickly. And we both dealt with them, with losing family members that were sick. So I feel like it is really, there's some lead time. You always have hope that things could turn around. But so it's not a complete like surprise, which I don't know how that feels for that. But yeah, I would just say, I was like, this, it doesn't feel real. Like, it really changes things when you realize like how close death can be to you when you think like death won't touch me. I feel like that's how I really felt. What do you remember like your initial feelings?
Yeah, it was like going through a bad dream. It was like a daze, and looking back I still don't remember everything. It was like you said, there's that shock, and I feel like some part of my brain must have turned off to kind of like block out that traumatic experience. But yeah, it was just, I felt like the days were so long, but then I look back and I was like, how did I even make it through that? I don't even remember a month going by. Like, what have I done in the past month? But it was like, you're just trying to make it through the next hour, the next minute. And yeah, it was a very, very surreal experience.
Okay, so rapid fire, what are five like words, feelings that you would describe that you felt right after loss? It's like the top five.
Obviously, like a profound sadness, like the worst sadness I've ever felt in my whole life. Anxiety, and specifically anxiety around death and loss specifically. I felt inadequate because I am now rising to this occasion to, one, execute a will and last wishes. And I was a kid, I didn't know what I was doing. And just like this feeling in my chest that just never went away. It was like a lump in my throat, a hole in my chest of like, will this ever go away? Will this feeling ever go away? Was that four? Or was that five? We'll count it as five. What about you, Rachel? What feelings? Yeah. What about you, Rachel? How did you feel right after?
Fair enough. We don't have to be strict with ourselves. I would say definitely sadness. It's a new sadness that you've never experienced before until you like, see someone that you love no longer here. Definitely shock. Like, it definitely was like shock of just like, this actually happened. Like, this didn't turn into a positive way. It definitely felt like instability. Yeah. And I've lost like three people. So, but like increased instability, but definitely it's like people you rely on are no longer there. So I definitely felt like like not stable with that. And then just stress. It's like so much going on. You don't know what to be feeling, doing. Like, it's just, I feel like you think about, you know, so much is going on and you try to figure out like, what's the next move for this? Like, what are you supposed to be doing? So it was definitely stressful. And then also I felt like shyness because it's like you feel that like, so all of a sudden so many eyes are on you and it just, you know, word spreads, you've lost people are reaching out, I feel like it's like you almost feel like there's so many eyes on you and people are wondering how you're feeling, and you know, people reach out and people that may not even know you that well reach out, and you know, it could be nice but also can just kind of be like a lot, and you feel like you're like on display on the worst time of your life, like all eyes are on you, and it's like how's she gonna react, and I feel like there's so much pressure. So I definitely felt kind of like trying to be a little recluse. I felt like very shy of like, there's so much attention on me about something that like I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing or how to process this. So for me, that was something I wasn't, you don't expect that to be a major thing, but it is a major thing, like with grief, it's just like so much attention on you when you don't want attention.
Yeah, you just want to crawl up in bed and hide from the world and just cry, and then you have all these eyes on you and you're literally not in your best place in life, you know, which I think incorporates into the fact that like I have had one loss and I know how a feeling like this is an experience just with one loss, and you've lost three very close people to you. And I want to know, as someone who's still, I guess, like a newbie in this, like to say it like that, but does loss change or feel different after the first time? Like, how does that change for you? And how do you feel about that whole process?
I feel like you feel some very initial same things between, like, with grief. It's like, you know, when you lose someone, there's some similar feelings of just immense pain and immense sadness. But definitely, like, when my dad passed away, it's not that I was expecting him to pass away so early in my life, but he had had health problems and stuff, so it wasn't like complete shock. But my sister had just come out of a coma, like, so I was like in a grateful period of like, my sister's okay, you know, my sister's she's with me and we're together and she's getting better. I was very much in a, like, I see some of the stuff that I post and I was like very reflective and very grateful. Like, I was like in, I was very much, you know, you can find happiness and sadness. Like, I think I was so like positive. Like, I was trying to like, what can I learn from this huge major thing? And maybe even, oh, how do I feel inspirational right now? Like, I'll share what I'm feeling in a way of like type of stuff. And because definitely like myself and my sister in the hospital, like I feel like we kind of dealt with it in a bubble and not a lot of people knew, so I was like very much in my like, so much has happened and we learned so much, so I feel like I was so like I was in a very positive place. And I read stuff and I'm kind of like I laugh because I don't really post stuff like that anymore. Like, I'm not, like, I don't really, I don't think I see, like, the big happy moment stuff as much as I did. So I think, like, after my dad, like, I see stuff that I'm like, oh, it was positive, trying to, oh, what positive stuff can I put? And then when my sister passed away, it was like, that was, like, way harder, because it's like, you don't expect to lose your sister. So that definitely felt, like, way worse. And I was so, like, positive I lost my sister. Like, because I still had her, I was still positive. Yeah. So I look at that, and I'm like, I don't think I posted anything really positive after that for a while. And then my mom passed away, like, 2 years after. And then that's the point where I was really, like, F it. This is not okay. Like, there's no way that, like, this would be my life. Like, there's no way that, like, they're gonna take all this from me. And
yeah, so I think it takes a toll.
Yeah. And so I definitely would, like, my mom, like, that was kind of like the final straw where I felt like things can go any which direction right now, and I don't know how much way it's gonna go. Because it just really felt like there's no way that, like, she's gonna get better. This is, like, this can't be what happens. And it is what happened. So, like, I think for a while, and even now, I'm not like, oh my God, I've learned so much and things are great because of that. But I have enough space where it's like, it can actually breathe. Because when you're dealing with that so closely together, like, you don't know how to process it or deal with it. No. So I think, like, there's definitely, I think until my sister passed away, I was, like, in my kind of, like, I'm learning era and I'm being positive and I can share what I learned. It was like, I think I just dove into a black hole after that. So I think, like, obviously it's very different. And yeah, it definitely kills your, like, spirit a lot when you're like, oh, things can get worse. So
yeah,
it's not just like, oh, you're losing a random person or like someone that you knew, or it's like you're losing like your core people.
Yeah,
I do still have a brother. Yeah, it's still like you're losing so much. So I definitely think, like, yeah, it definitely compounds. And I think, like, there's definitely parts of my life where I'm like, I don't even remember what I did during that time, but I'd get like posts, like Facebook memories always like reminds you of stuff, and it's like,
yeah,
oh yeah, I was so positive. I was so positive for a bit about it, and I think now I'm like in a much better place, and I definitely still cry. I think that's like very normal. Like, you love people, it's always gonna be sad, and when you think about core stuff, like, it's never not gonna be sad. And like, when I think about how much I lost, like, that's always going to be sad to me. Like, that's not something that just goes away or, like, in X amount of time. Like, that's always going to be freaking sad to me. So,
right.
I think, yeah, each loss is different. You can't prepare for it. Like, it's just, like, you just have to kind of keep going. But, yeah, it's definitely a lot. And I would never wish that upon, like, anyone else to deal with that kind of life-altering crap. Yeah, I mean, I hope other people don't. I hope no one that listens can relate to that exact type of scenario, because that's really hard. And I definitely, like it said, like, my mom passed away like 6 years ago, and I just feel like now is 6 years later after losing everyone that I feel like I can actually talk about stuff. And obviously it's like I still cry, it's still sad, but I actually feel like, okay, I can actually talk about it. Maybe there are some positives that can happen from, like, talking about an experience and, you know, things that have changed and any positives, because it's like, this is still life and you still want to, like, have a great life.
Right.
As much as you can, even with those hard things. So, yeah, I think it is funny, just kind of the different stages. But I do laugh when I see, like, the very reflective, like, I'm so grateful messages sometimes, where it's like, I still, like, you have to feel grateful about life and the life you get to live. But it is just funny, because I don't think I ever have that tone quite anymore as I did before. not quite as jolly with what I post about grief, or if I even post anything at all. So also, so that segues, even though I said a lot in there and I cried in some of it, but do after all. So I think a lot of times people talk about it, and I think there's so much expectation of, like, what do you need to be doing after loss? Like, should there be something you're doing in the first few days, a few months, a year mark? Like, what should you be doing? Or, like, what do you wish you could tell yourself that you should have done? Like, do you think there's a right or wrong way to kind of to do that?
Yeah, and I think your disclaimer at the top that every person is different and every loss is different, and that although we might have wanted to wish this advice for ourselves back in the day, that you have to do what's best for you. And if this doesn't resonate with you, then don't take the advice. You know, it's we're just hoping if we could share anything to our younger selves, what would we tell ourselves? And I think you have to keep in mind that even the smallest bit of progress is any amount of progress you can make. You know, that's good progress. Even if it's just one step, that's a huge thing right after a loss and in the midst of grief. And so one thing I wish, I know you and I had talked about this, Rachel, but one thing I kind of wish was that there is no expectation of you after you lose someone. Like, in the first few days, it is shocking, exactly like what you talked about, Rachel, and that if you are feeling pressure to be sadder than you feel, or feel happier than you feel, or whatever, and all the mix in between, if you feel angry, then yeah, feel what you need to feel in those first few days. That's probably the most realistic thing. And don't be hard on yourself. Like, you are going through a life-altering event. Like, you are changing as a person, and the world around you is now changing, and that's very difficult, especially if it's your first loss, especially if it's your 500th loss. You know, it's, I think there needs to be this grace and forgiveness for one another, but especially yourself. Like, you gotta get it through the day. You just have to survive. You want to add on anything, Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for me, like, I don't think I could even tell, like, I don't think I even have any advice for people in terms of, like, what I think you should do, because I think it's so personal and depends how you, who you are. Like, I can say, like, in the first few days, like, what I wish maybe I knew or what I felt was, like, I think in the first few days I wish, like, the things I've done is, like, not felt the need to put time, especially depending on, you know, where I was, like, in the loss, but, like, that I had to, like, tell everybody, and that I had to post about it, and I had to kind of share, you know, dedication and do all this stuff. And I think, obviously, when someone passes away, like, there's probably people that deserve to know within a very short window. Like, I do, you know, but there's also people that you kind of tell generally, whether it's friends or whatever, and it opens up just a lot more people reaching out to you and questions, and people asking you, like, when's a funeral, like, people asking questions and kind of putting all this on you. And I think I wish I had some days just to, like, feel sad, and if it was, like, I wasn't eating or I was only eating cookies, like, where I was kind of in those few days. And it just also depends on, like, who was, like, as my loss progress. But I think that, like, in the first few days, I would have just, like, not felt so much expectation on myself, like, of what I was supposed to be doing, and felt like I had to, like, kind of do all these, like, formalities. I would have just given myself, like, I wish I had just told myself to, like, turn off your phone, like, lay down, read, like, do something just to kind of, like, ease your mind for a second, your heart. Mm-hmm. After a few months, like, I mean, I probably wish, like, that I was doing stuff to bring joy to my life, or, like, trying to find some type of normalcy, like, new normal, because I don't think there's a normal to return to. I think it's, like, your new normal. But also, I think, like, especially as, like, I lost so many people, like, I could say, like, I wish I had hit some point quicker, but I also don't know that I'd be physically, like, mentally capable of that. Like, it just, you lose, there's no playbook for how to deal with losing people, and it's way worse than you when you think it's going to feel. So I don't know that I was actually capable of doing it differently, but like in my perfect world, maybe I would feel some type of new normal quicker than I did, but, or that would be behind the expectation at 3 months. But I think also having no expectation for that, because again, like losing both your parents and your sister, like you don't just bounce back from that, like that type of loss. So I think like maybe not putting that expectation on myself, but like maybe not even like feeling a new normal, but like doing something nice for myself in those first few months would probably be, I wish I had done. At like a year mark, I feel like for me, I think there's a lot of expectations that you feel like you have of how you're supposed to feel or act at a year. And the truth is like everything can still feel like it sucks and everything can feel really sad after a year. And I think that's something where I'm like, oh, I wish that like I had decided what I was going to feel or be okay with feeling and not feeling like I had to hit certain milestones to feel like I'm going forward or moving forward with it. And we've talked about like, you know, there's so many different days that remind you of like stuff. It's like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Sibling Day, there's holidays. Like there's no shortage of days that remind you that they're gone, like your birthday, their birthdays. Like you just have so much stuff. And I, like for me, especially because I had so many days that I felt like I was like, it only makes sense if I'm trying to highlight them and share. And it's like, and then I realized, like, I'm focusing so much on their death and not my own life that, like, I'm bypassing my own birthday. I'm not celebrating my own birthday. That was, like, always important to me. And, like, I've always been big on birthdays. So, like, I think I was getting lost in the loss. And I was just, like, they wouldn't want me to, like, just be in the sad circle of, like, making sure I do stuff for this. So I think that's kind of part of it, of feeling like the year mark or trying to hit milestones of their first this or first that or second or just yearly. And I wish I had sooner that like I can decide how I want things to be, and whatever I choose, it's because I'm testing it out. Like it might not be perfect, but this is how I feel about this year and this is what I want to try so that I feel better about it. So I think just realizing like it's not black and white, like you figure it out and it changes, and it's, you know, you can feel especially sad about 1 year and better about the next, like, and that just kind of changes. So I think feeling very fluid in it and just like having, I think like the expectations and just feeling like after a certain time, and a lot of people like the 1 year is supposed to be all this stuff. And it's like, it's really kind of all the same. They're gone and it's sad, and these days are going to bring memories and everything. And you have to just kind of figure out like how you can intertwine in your life or how you can keep living but still be happy. So I think, yeah, taking out the world, like this is what you're supposed to be doing. I think that's kind of the biggest thing, is like, there's no one way to, there's no like exact playbook. It's really, you have to figure out what works for you, is I think would have been the best.
You know, I know a lot of people want to rush into therapy, and if that's good for you and you know that's what you need, absolutely, like go ahead, start pursuing. If you already have a therapist, like you're ahead of the game. Waited 6 months after my loss until it got to a point where it was affecting every part of my life, when I realized, if I intend on being a good sister, if I intend on being a good friend, if I intend on being a good person out into the world, then I really got to start working on how I handle this grief, which kind of morphed into just like severe depression. And for me personally, they suggested, you know, do you want to take antidepressants along with your therapy? And that might just help you get up and going again. Because for a lot of people, it's just like you're stuck in bed and you do just kind of lose your life a little bit to grief and not knowing how to move forward. For me, that was a good choice for myself. I'm not saying that's a good choice for everybody. I know a lot of people are not ready for antidepressants. I know a lot of people aren't ready for therapy, and that's okay. That's 100% your prerogative, and you gotta take the steps that are good for you and the time that's right for you. Because rushing it too early could also just be as detrimental. I think another thing that When I was initially going through that first year, I thought I was going to fall into those stages of grief and know where I was, and to find out that's not how it is at all, and that it's okay to backpedal. It's okay to think that you're at the finish line, then to find out you're really at square two, and to kind of just understand you're going to ebb up, you're going to flow back, you're going to backpedal, and you've got to go at the pace you're ready, and you've got to explore all that emotion. And kind of like when you're talking about time, Rachel, that it's going to take time to explore all those heavy emotions. And unfortunately, like, no one can do that for you. And I think, like, what you said about it has to be an active choice almost every second of the day when you're in that initial loss to want little progress and little steps to become better. And some days you're not going to want to do any of that, and that's 100% fine. Like, I had my own bad coping mechanisms that I had, although I wish I could go back and tell myself, like, there are other options. There's other ways to get through this. You don't have to keep falling back on your default bad coping mechanisms.
Yeah, bad coping. Definitely. I think mine was dating and food. So, like, you deserve, like, of course I deserve this, like, brownie, because, like, I lost everybody. Like,
right.
That gets dangerous really quickly because you feel like you deserve everything, and then it's like your health kind of goes downhill really quickly, and then it's like, you know, like looking yourself in the mirror, you don't feel like confident, you're not like, it kind of can go into this place where you're like, I do feel better when I'm working out frequently, I do feel better, you know, when I feel more confident because I feel healthy and I like, you know, I like working out. And when you're not doing those things, like taking care of yourself, it's like, then things become, you know, even harder, because like then you're mental health that's not even necessarily surrounded with grief starts taking a turn, because you're like, I don't feel good about myself in general. I think that's bad. And like for me also, like dating, I was like very set, like the only thing that's gonna make me feel better is like I start my own family and then holidays and everything is gonna feel better, feel more normal, because I have my own family to focus on, and really was not in a place to be dating or looking for, you know, a partner. Like, yeah, definitely wasn't gonna attract the right man, feeling like as I was feeling, and also like not taking care of myself. Not that like you deserve to be loved any shape, size, whatever, but just mentally I was not in a place to be dating or attracting the right type of guy anyway. So that was not a good use of my time, and it's, yeah, adding extra emotion of like, it's like I didn't actually even like him, and I was like, you know, toss in, I felt like I liked him so much at the time. Like, I didn't. I was just trying to like attach all this love that I had that I didn't have to put daily on other people. I was like, not a positive way to spend your time. So I definitely took a long pause on dating when I was like, this is not going well. You should not do this. And then I, you know, started working out again and you know, taking care of myself. But like those type of things, it's like, it's easy to fall into things that make you feel better at the time or feel like that's a solution, but ultimately it's like you have to figure out like, oh, Ashley is taking care of yourself, because it could take a while and it might take a little bit to slap yourself back into that. But yeah, it's very easy to like feel like you need these things to make you feel better or cope. It's a blur. It's really a blur.
It is.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that.
I think another thing that when I was initially going through that first year, I thought I was going to fall into those stages of grief and know where I was, and to find out that's not how it is at all, and that it's okay to backpedal. It's okay to think that you're at the finish line, then to find out you're really at square two, and to kind of just understand you're going to ebb up, you're going to flow back, you're going to backpedal, and you've got to go at the pace you're ready, and you've got to explore all that emotion. And kind of like when you're talking about time, Rachel, that it's going to take time to explore all those heavy emotions. And unfortunately, like, no one can do that for you. And I think, like, what you said about it has to be an active choice almost every second of the day when you're in that initial loss to want little progress and little steps to become better. And some days you're not going to want to do any of that. And that's 100% fine. Like, I had my own bad coping mechanisms that I had. Although I wish I could go back and tell myself, like, there are other options. There's other ways to get through this. You don't have to keep falling back on your default bad coping mechanisms.
Yeah, bad coping. Yeah, definitely. I think mine was dating and food. So, and like when you eat, when you like, you deserve, like, of course I deserve this, like, brownie because like I lost everybody. Like,
right.
That gets dangerous really quickly. You feel like you deserve everything, and then it's like your health kind of goes downhill really quickly, and then it's like, you know, like looking yourself in the mirror, you don't feel like confident, you're not like, it kind of can go into this place where you're like, I do feel better when I'm working out frequently, I do feel better, you know, when I feel more confident because I feel healthy and I like, you know, I like working out. And when you're not doing those things like taking care of yourself, it's like then things become, you know, even harder, because like then you're mental health that's not even necessarily surrounded with grief starts taking a turn, because you're like, I don't feel good about myself in general. I think that's bad. And like for me also, like dating, I was like very set, like the only thing that's gonna make me feel better is like I start my own family and then holidays and everything is gonna feel better, feel more normal because I have my own family to focus on. And really was not in a place to dating or looking for, you know, a partner. Like, yeah, definitely wasn't going to attract the right man, feeling like as I was feeling, and also like not taking care of myself. Not that like you deserve to be loved any shape, size, whatever, but just mentally I was not in a place to be dating or attracting the right type of guy anyway. So that was not a good use of my time. And it's, yeah, adding extra emotion of like, it's like I didn't actually even like him. And I was like, you know, tossing. I felt like I liked him so much at the time. Like, I didn't. I was just trying to like attach all this love that I had that I didn't have to put daily on other people. I was like, not a positive way to spend your time. So I definitely took a long pause on dating when I was like, this is not going well. And then I, you know, started working out again and you know, take those type of things. It's like, it's easy to fall into things that make you feel better at the time or feel like that. But ultimately, it's like you have to figure out like, oh, Ashley is taking care of yourself, because it could take a while and it might take a little bit to slap yourself back into that. But yeah, it's very easy to like feel like you need these things to make you feel better or cope. We met through the dinner club. So the dinner party.
Yeah. The dinner party.
We both joined at the same like similar time, and we both joined as like, we feel like we can host. So the dinner party is basically like where people that have grieved and you meet either virtually or in person and talk about grief, and you can decide who you want to be in your party. So you can either join one that exists that feels like your space that you want to talk about. We both were joining to feel like in a space like we've had enough time from our grief that we can like talk about it, but we also want to create our own communities to talk about it. So we actually met like in the training, and now you're in the one that I host, and
yeah,
it is so crazy. Like, we would never talk about anything anyone says in there, obviously. But what I will say is like, some people joined so quick from their loss and speak about it so eloquently and so like in a way that I just was not capable of doing at the time. And I am just like so amazed and inspired by the people that, by people in our group that share and are in a place and I feel like are taking such proactive and healthy steps in their grief that like, I mean, my dad passed 10 years ago and I'm just talking about stuff now, like, you know, like, it took me so much longer, and I'm just like, just so in awe of like how they can speak about it and how, yeah, just how quickly they were looking for solutions and positive solutions. Cause that was not me. That was not me. Like, at all.
No, it wasn't.
But I do think
either.
It was like very certain, you know, like meant to be that we ended up.
It took me 4 years to make that choice. Whereas, like, I'm, like you said, Rachel, I'm also so impressed with people who identified that so early on and they wanted to make a positive choice for themselves and understanding their grief and suffering. And so we talked about heavy things, a lot of heavy content. And we wanted to kind of like diffuse this a little bit by ending the podcast with a bit of positivity. So it's going to be a positive challenge that, you know, we're going to offer if you feel so choose to accept it. But we, this week in this episode, we want to challenge you to just do one positive thing for yourself, however big, however small, whether that's brushing your teeth or going outside or grabbing dinner with a friend, going to the movies, something, whatever is your comfortability, but acknowledge that you do deserve a good thing. You've gone through something crazy and painful, and you do deserve a positive thing in your life. Do you want to add to anything, Rachel?
No, I'll just share what my answer for the, like, what my challenge, what the challenge for me will be for this week, or kind of the positive thing. And yeah, I mean, I guess just a note on like what the positive thing is. I mean, like you said, it could be so small, and sometimes you just need to get yourself into that positive mindset to just do one nice thing for yourself. And I think, at least for me, there's so many times that I was like, I'd build something up in my head of like, this is going to be horrible. I'm not in the space for this. And then I'd go and I'm like, oh, it's actually really nice to connect with people. And it was really nice to see these people or do this thing or be outside. And I think sometimes we can get stuck in like thinking that it is the wrong thing when it's really, it's nice to push yourself out of like thinking that everything's going to be like negative or not a good experience. So the positive thing can really be anything, but it doesn't have to be a big thing. Like if you're in a space to like book a trip with a friend, cool, go all out. But yeah, if it just means walking outside or saying hi to one person just so that you're like having some human connection, going to a coffee shop, like wherever you're at, just try to push yourself to do that thing. It could be getting out of bed, like if that's where you're at. It could be not relying on cookies for everything for your sustenance. Like really where you're at, just try to do one pausing. For me, something that I'm going to do that I'm hosting this weekend is a cookbook club. And
how fun.
What I realized is like, I do want to, yeah, it's my first time, so hopefully it goes well. But basically you pick a cookbook and then people make a recipe from the cookbook and then you share it. Everyone gets to try stuff. So I've seen it in New York and I was like, I want to do it. I love cooking. One thing that I realized like brings me joy is cooking. And I also realized like building back community and doing a bunch of stuff is things I'm missing. I think COVID also didn't help that at all. Like so many of my friends moved out of the city. So bringing back like community has been such a big thing that I've been focused on. So I am organizing the Cocoa Club. It's happening first time this Saturday. I'm hosting it at my apartment. So that's just something positive for me is like, one, it's always good to like push yourself to like, these are people that I met through like a group. So it's like, I don't really know many of them coming. Socializing, like I do like hosting. So it's just like putting myself in a space again of being very social and like connecting with new people. So excited. That's what I have challenged myself to do kind of like in general, but it's the one thing that I'm doing this week. What about you? Like, what is your positive challenge?
Nice thing. Yeah. It's my favorite thing. I look forward to this all week. I have a game night with my brother and sister. Sometimes my cousin comes, sometimes my sister's friend comes, but normally it's pretty much us three every time, and we play games and we have dinner together. And we initially started this after losing our dad, as a way to just keep the three of us together in that hard time. And sometimes, you know, initially it was just to talk about anything other than grief, because we were talking about that all the time anyways with each other, but I wanted us to have a time to have fun with each other and kind of bond. And so since then, we do talk about our father all the time now when we play our games and just reminisce and think. And I think our dad would really be appreciating that we take time to do that for each other. But that is, That's my positive thing, not only for myself, but for my siblings as well. So we're going to list some resources down in the show notes. So if you're interested, if you want to learn more, we'll have them there. And like we talked about earlier, we're part of the dinner party, which you feel free to look on the website, learn more. There's a ton of great resources on there alone. And then we'll have other episode resources in the future as well to talk about. Really excited to hear what Rachel has to share. As of now, we're going to have new episodes every Tuesday. So stay tuned. Keep up with us. We're going to be talking about different things each week and different topics on the subject of grief. And so, yeah, I think that sums up. Do you want to add anything else, Rachel?
Yeah, I will also say we have both joined the dinner party. We're not like affiliated with them in any way. So we're not like, I don't know exactly like their pay structure or if it's free or not, really sure. But either way, we're not like making money from them at all or connected. So just we have appreciated the resource and we just are going to list it as something that you might want to try. But yeah, just to be clear, we're not making any money from them or anything like that. We just have found it helpful for our own personal grief journeys. And so how you can join the club, and hopefully not, I mean, literally, if you haven't lost someone, I hope you don't have to literally join, aren't part of the grief club, but you can connect with us on Instagram. So Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, we're all under Two Girls with Grief Pod. So just pod. We'll also list that in the show notes as well, so you can easily find us. And we would love to hear for each challenge, for every time we have a challenge at the end, we'd love to be able to share for our next episode. So please email us. Our email is twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. We'll also put that in the show notes. But we'd love to hear like what your one challenge was. You can also like comment on any of our videos or anything on our socials. But an email would be great. Just share. Also, if anything resonated with you in the episode, we'd love that. But yeah, tell us what your challenge is because we'll share some in the next episode. And as a reminder, grief looks very different for everyone. You know, our grief looks different even between us two. So if nothing from today's episode resonated with you, like don't feel like you're doing anything wrong or that your grief is wrong, your feelings are wrong. You know, everyone is different. So hopefully something resonates with you or you learn something. Everything, you know, as we share more episodes and like as you do this, you're going to see like grief is so different for everybody and the different feelings, but there's also a lot of similarities. But we will see you next week.